What's going on, you true crime buffs, and welcome to the True Crime Stories Podcast, where we dive into the cases which still haunt people today. I'm your host, Alex, guiding you down this rabbit hole, so let's get into it. In today's podcast, we'll be going over one of the most notorious killers, which has inspired characters in dozens of movies and shows, such as Norman Bates' Psycho, Leatherface in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and Buffalo Bill in the Silence of the Lambs, and the character of Dr. Oliver Thredson in the TV series American Horror Story Asylum. Can you guess who it is? I know all these movies and shows, and I've seen all these characters, and it's something. And I wouldn't even guess this was a real person that inspired all these people, but he exists. His name? Ed Gein, a.k.a. The Butcher of Plainfield. We'll start where it all began. August 27th, 1906. Edward Theodore Gein was born to Augusta and George Gein in La Crosse, Wisconsin. He had a birth defect on his left eye which caused him to have a lazy eye, and he was the younger brother of Henry, who was 5 years older than him. Now, a little bit about the parents. George Gein was an abusive alcoholic father who worked periodically as a carpenter, tanner, and a farmer, couldn't hold down a job, and was not the supporter of the family. On the other hand, Augusta supported the family through a successful grocery store business. She was also a fanatic religious woman. And when I say fanatically religious, I mean she was an extremist, and you'll see why. Now, she despised George because she felt as if he was worthless, and she gave him no part in raising the two boys. This is because if she was the one supporting the family, and George just couldn't hold down a job. Now, it's crazy to see how the parents could affect the child at such a young age, because you'll see here in a second. In 1913, when he was just 7 years old, this is a claim by Ed whenever he was caught, spoiler alert, that when he was just 7 years old, he witnessed his parents slaughter a hog behind the shed of the family store, and he said he experienced an ejaculation upon this. That's just 7 years old. Like, I don't even know what's going through this kid's head. But that's in 1913 when he's 7 years old. He claimed this. This is his words. That's what he experienced. So, 1 year later, 1914, when Ed's just 8 years old, the Geins moved to Plainfield, Wisconsin to a 195-acre farm because Augusta wanted to move away from the immorality of the city and all the sinners that lived there. And the closest neighbors were almost a mile away. Now, you can see where this is starting to play into the setting of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, where they're in the middle of nowhere and they're isolated. Now, that same year, Ed and Henry began grade school in a tiny one-building room with only 12 students. Ed was average at school, but he was an excellent reader. Ed was also shunned and isolated at school, though, because of his lazy eye and his shyness. So yeah, he was bullied at school and bullied at home. He also had a lesion on his tongue, which caused him to speak a bit weird. Now, Augusta always severely punished Ed when he did attempt to make friends, so he couldn't even make friends at school. And he couldn't make friends anyway. I mean, he tried, but he was also bullied, and he was getting bullied back and forth. Augusta also verbally abused both boys, believing they were destined to become failures like their father. I mean, this is not looking bright for this kid. He would come home crying from kids making fun of him, and his alcoholic father would repeatedly beat him in his head until his ears would start ringing. And that was actually a claim, or quote, from him. He would literally be beaten until his ears would ring. And he's only 8 years old at this time. It's 1914, man. 8 years old, and he's already having all this stuff to him happen, and it just keeps getting worse. Like, a few years later, when he's 12 years old, in 1918, 12 years old, he was caught masturbating by his mother in the bathtub, and like any normal mom, what does she do? She does not do what they would do. She actually goes into the bathroom and grabs his genitalia and calls him the curse of man. Now, I don't know who does that, but that's just like, that's what I mean. She's an extremist. She crosses boundaries and lines, and it's just, I don't even know how, he's 12 years old, man. I mean, 12, and this is all happening to him still. And he's done some weird shit, too, as well. It's just crazy. It keeps going. 2 years later, 1920, he's only 14 years old, and he graduated from the 8th grade, but then dropped out of school. I guess he had to work on the farm. But, actually, he continued to read. I guess he was an avid reader. He loved to read. Jump forward, 21 years old. Ed said that his mother, Augusta, made both her sons promise to always remain virgins. There you go again with the extremist stuff, man. Yeah, because that's one of a promise. 10 years later, 1937, Ed's 31 years old, and his father's still alive, but he became a helpless invalid and was completely dependent on his family that feared and hated him. He was no help on the farm and drank away most of the family's earnings. Now, I couldn't even imagine the kind of hate that the sons and the mother would have for this guy just because of the things he's done to them and him not working or supporting the family or doing anything. He's kind of like a deadbeat dad, a bum living there, beating on everyone. I don't see that going well for him in the future. And as you can see, a few years later, whenever Ed's 34, April 1st, 1940, only 3 years later, he died of fluid in his lungs at the age of 66. Now, Augusta attributed his death to his weakness and referred him often to going to hell. Ed and Henry, 39, Henry's 5 years older than Ed, so yeah, Henry's 39, he began to take on odd jobs to help support the family, mostly as a handyman. Ed was often employed as a babysitter. I'm like, a babysitter, like this guy. He said he loved the company of children because they were easier to relate to. Both Ed and Henry were considered trustworthy and reliable people by the town. So, even though all this stuff behind the curtain that's going on the outside, they're trustworthy and reliable to everyone else. Like, nobody sees anything wrong with them, but, I mean, there's a lot going on. So, 2 years later, Ed's 36 years old. The year is 1942, so World War II is going on. And Ed was eligible for the draft. So, he had to actually travel to Milwaukee for the physical exam. He was actually rejected due to the growth on his left eye, which caused a slight impairment in his vision. Now, I mean, there's a lot of things that happen with the draft. I've heard like stories of people committing suicide when they were rejected. I'm not sure where his mindset was on being rejected, but this was actually the furthest away from home he's ever been, and this is the only time in his life that he had actually traveled so far. I mean, that's, some people don't never leave the same town, but yeah, he's in that category. So, 2 years later, 1944, I'm guessing Henry didn't even go to go fight. He probably was rejected, or I don't know, but he's there with him still. So Henry, not sharing Ed's worship for their mother, gotta go back to that too. So Ed actually worshipped his mother. I mean, so every word, everything she's done to him, he believed in her, and he was a mama's boy. So this guy, from all the abuse, verbal abuse, he was taking every word and from his mother, and he looked up to her. Yeah, so it stressed me out, the story, but we'll continue. Henry, not sharing Ed's worship for their mother, he began to openly criticize the mom. Now, Henry was worried about what he perceived to be Ed's unhealthy attachment to her. This criticism shocked and mortified Ed, which, I mean, you gotta see that coming, man. I mean, he's trying to help you out, but he doesn't listen. And same year, May 16th, 1944, this is where things start to get even more sketchy for Ed. Henry died in a sudden death under mysterious circumstances at the age of 43. While he and Ed were fighting a runaway fire on the marshland near their home. Now, I don't even understand how this didn't get solved or resolved, but Ed reported that he had been unable to locate Henry, but yet he led police directly to where his body was laying. So he didn't know where he went, but he was able to lead the police to where the body was. I mean, I don't see how that's not suspicious. But I guess to the townspeople, they were trustworthy people. And to make things even more mysterious, apparently the cause of death was not consistent with the injuries from the fire. Henry's body hadn't been touched by the fire, actually, but his head was badly bruised. So he had bruises on his head and his body and hadn't even been touched by the fire. I mean, I don't understand how they would rule that death, because there's no way the smoke, I mean, where'd the bruises come from? You know what I'm saying? So, Henry's brother is dead, and everyone's pretty sure Ed did it. Well, not everyone, but everyone looking at this story is pretty sure Ed did it. But I guess same year, May 18th, a few days later, the country coroner listed Henry's cause of death as asphyxiation. The police dismissed the notion of foul play because they did not believe Ed was capable of killing someone. So this guy, I mean, they didn't believe he was able to kill someone. That's why they dismissed him. Yeah. Because they're like, this guy, he can't kill no one. Look at him. But how he just gets away with it like that. I don't understand. All right. So the same year, 1944, late 1944, Ed's still 38. Augusta became faintly sick, and not long after Henry's death, she had to be hospitalized, and she suffered her first stroke. So, 1945, a year later, Ed's 39 years old. Augusta became worried about Ed's reading, which include head shrinking, grave robbing, and many books on human anatomy. So I guess he liked to read and began reading this kind of stuff, and that's what he took interest in. And she started becoming worried for him, but sadly that same year, well, not sadly, I guess, she wasn't the greatest mom, but December 29th, 1945, she actually died of complications from her second stroke at the age of 67. Now, how Ed reacted to this, because, you know, he worshipped her, he reacted to this by boarding up his mother's bedroom and sitting in the room to preserve it like a museum-style way in which she was still alive. Like, he left everything as it was and didn't touch it, like a shrine. It was literally like a shrine. He built a shrine for his mother. So the next year, early 1946, Ed's 40 years old, and I mean, this guy's alone now. He has nobody on the farm. It's just himself. His brother is dead. He probably killed his brother. Most likely killed his brother, and his mother died, the one person he worshipped. So, where does this leave Ed? Ed's already unkempt in his appearance and degrades further. Neighbors comment on how bad he smells. But Ed continued to live on the farm to live off of small earnings he got from odd jobs. Ed then boarded up all but two rooms in the house that were never reopened again until his arrest. So, another year later, 1947, 18 months after Augusta died, Ed, driven by intense loneliness and what he later said to be strange visions, began to visit the cemetery where his mother was buried. After several visits, he began to dig up corpses. The first body that he dug up was that of his mother's. And he didn't take the whole body. He literally twisted her head off with his bare hands, took the head, and shrunk it like in the books he was reading. I mean, this guy's going through some stuff. May 1st, that same year, an 8-year-old Giorgio Weckler disappeared without a trace, leaving no suspects, and the only clue found was tire tracks of a Ford. I mean, you can see where this is going. So, between 1947 and 1951, between Ed's ages of 41 and 45, Ed began making nocturnal visits to as many as 40 cemeteries. 40 cemeteries. Frequently leaving without any offense, but on at least 9 occasions, Ed dug up coffins of newly buried middle-aged women. He had scouted these women out of the obituaries, and he would take what he wanted from them and then recover the violated graves. Besides masturbation, Ed denies ever having a sexual experience in his life, and stated that he never had sex with the cadavers because they smelled too bad. That's a quote. He said he didn't have sex with the cadavers because they, quote, smelled too bad. Now, his cravings and compulsions started to fall under the category of necrophilia. An increase in missing persons in the area began at this time as well, stumping police. So, at this time of him grave robbing and doing all this stuff, people are starting to disappear as well. I mean, and this is in a 4-year time frame. All this stuff is going down. And this 1951, the same year when he's 45 still, Ed visited a bar owned by Mary Hogan. She was a middle-aged woman that looked much like Ed's mother, but had a foul mouth and a trashy history. Ed was transfixed by her because of the resemblance of his mother as well as the glaring difference between the two. Now, you can already see with a lot of the people that Ed's messing with, or, you know, you can see from his past, like him liking children, they're easy to relate to, like with peep kids disappearing and the bodies he's taking up. He's obsessed with his mother. He misses his mother or something. He's looking for something. He's finding it in ways which, I mean, are very disturbing. So that same year, Ed's still 45, August 26, Ed dug up Eleanor Adams, a 50-year-old woman who had been buried earlier that day. He dug her up. November 1st, Victor Bunk Travis, at the age of 42, and his friend Ray Burgess disappeared with the car after spending several hours at a local bar in Plainfield. Two guys disappeared. No trace of them in their car was ever found. While the kidnapping of men was out of character for Ed, the police still suspected he had some role in their disappearance. And October 24th, when Ed's 47 years old, Evelyn Hartley, at age of 15, was abducted while babysitting for her family friends. Her father found signs of struggle, including broken eyeglasses, bloodstains, and footprints. Her panties and bra were found 2 miles southeast of La Crosse, and 4 miles further, a bloody pair of man's pants was found. Her body was never found. It is thought that Ed was responsible for this too. So, December 8th, Ed's 48 years old, 1954, Plains Tavern owner Mary Hogan, with whom Ed had early been transfixed on, disappeared from her establishment. Now, police suspected foul play because of the blood on the floor next to the empty bullet shell castings. Yeah. I think the bullet shell castings would have gave away the foul play. But Ed later revealed that he had been hanging out with her, drinking a bit. He pulled the blinds, put a .22 caliber gun to her forehead, and shot her. Yeah. He later revealed that he had been hanging out with her drinking, and he decided to just shoot her in the head with a .22. And took the body. Wow. Okay. December 9th. Same year. And the next day after the murder, while working with Elmo Yeek, I think that's the person's name, he admitted to killing Mary Hogan and said he'd hung her up at his house. But Elmo dismissed Ed's statement, not believing him. I mean, I don't understand why that person would think that that was a joke. Because that's not a funny joke, and they wouldn't believe him. I mean, just when somebody tells you stuff like that, I don't know who says things like that. And if people do say things like that, I mean, a lot of times you're thinking this person's crazy. So I dismissed what he said and didn't believe him. So November 15th, when he's 51 years old, he's still out there. Ed inquired from Mrs. Warden and her son about the price of antifreeze. Now, I guess we'll see where this goes. November 16th, the next day, the owner of a local International Harvest product shop and mother of Deputy Frank Warden, Bernice Warden, 58 years old, disappeared from her store. Sheriff Shirley and Deputy Warden found the cash register gone, blood on the floor, and the .22 caliber rifle that was out of place on the top rack upon revival of the store. They also found a receipt for antifreeze made out to Ed Gein, the last sale of the day. Yeah. Guess we saw where the antifreeze was going. So he literally asked her about the antifreeze one day, and the next day he goes to kill her and take her, and we bought some antifreeze. So the next day, November 17th, the sheriff and deputy warden enter Ed's house through the summer kitchen. Now, I gotta warn you before I tell you what they find that, I mean, this is graphic stuff, and I mean, yeah, if you're gonna hear some nasty, this is nasty, nasty stuff. So, just a little warning, this is what they found. Bernice Warden's headless corpse was found hanging upside down with her ankles lashed to a wooden crossbeam. She was split open from her vagina to her sternum. Field dressed like a deer. In addition, the police found human skulls affixed to the posts of Ed's bed, a box of organs, furniture made out of bone and skin, and masks. The masks were the portion of skin from the head that had been stripped away from the skull and preserved. Also found was a belt of breasts hanging from it, and an entire suit made of pierced skin of the woman, complete with a vest with the breasts attached. He made furniture and clothes out of people. A full suit of skin. I mean, this is sick. And I mean, this is where you can actually see where it comes in from the movies, like Buffalo Bill. This guy would kidnap women and steal their skin because he wanted to be a woman, I guess. I mean, that's like he was doing that. And dude, what is this? Like, this, the House of Horrors here. I mean, I guess you can see, if you've seen some of the movies that were based off his character, this is real. This stuff happened. The next day, November 18th, after they found all this stuff, Ed confessed to killing Mary Hogan and Bernice Warden. He was silent at first. He didn't say anything, it says. He was quiet about it, but then he confessed that day. An autopsy report reveals that Miss Warden died of a single gunshot wound to the back of the head. November 19th, the search of the 195-acre farm property began and lasted over a week. Yeah, this guy's living out in the middle of nowhere, so he had places to bury people, lots of stuff, lots of room. It's a nightmare. So November 21st, a lie detector test results released to the press of what Ed has been, you know, questioned upon. So November 22nd, the next day, Ed was taken before a judge, technically being charged with robbery. The murder charges were actually held back to determine his sanity. The next day, psychologists and psychiatrists who interviewed Ed asserted that he was a schizophrenic and a sexual psychopath. The next day, November 24th, all the graves that Ed supposedly robbed were opened, and the graves of Mrs. Adams was found empty. So, a few days later, November 29th, the deputies found more bones buried in trenches on Ed's farm. One skull had a gold tooth and was believed to be the skull of a man. Yeah, so they're finding stuff. They're finding a lot of stuff. So the year's 1957, and it's December 9th. Ed complained of memory defects during an interview with Dr. E.F. Schubert at the Central State Hospital. A few days later, on the 12th, Ed was interviewed by the doctor, Dr. Schubert, and found that Ed had an abnormally magnified attachment to his mother. On December 17th, the judge received a packet from the Central State Hospital stating that Ed was insane and should be permanently committed to the hospital. January 6th of 1958, when Ed's 52 years old, Ed's sanity hearing happened, and they declared him insane and he was recommitted to the Central State Hospital indefinitely. March 20th, 1958, Ed's farm and personal property were scheduled for auction on March 30th, but was destroyed in a fire during the early morning hours. Yeah, that place probably needed to be burned down, but gosh, yeah. So, his property was burned down mysteriously. 10 years later, January 22nd, 1968, after spending 10 years in the institution, he was determined to be competent and ready to stand trial. So the proceedings began, and it took 9 months to pass the preliminary matters, such as suppressing evidence, filings for briefs, and appointment of counsel. So the actual trial actually just started November 7th, and it only lasted a week. So November 14th, Ed was found guilty of murder for the first shooting of Bernice Warden. But the court also found that Ed was not sane during the shooting. Therefore, the court concluded Ed was not guilty by reason of insanity, and he was actually returned back to the hospital. So, February 1974, when he's 68 years old, Ed filed a petition with the Washoe County Clerk's of Courts claiming that he had now recovered his mental health and was fully competent, and therefore there was no reason why he should remain in any hospital. That same year, June 27th, a judge reviewed Ed's petition and ordered a reexamination. The judge rejected Ed's petition and he was returned back to the hospital. 1978, when Ed's 72 years old, he was moved to Mendota Mental Institution in Madison. And he remained there until 1984. July 26, Ed was senile after a long bout with cancer, and he died of respiratory failure in a geriatric ward at Mendota. He was considered by many at the hospital to be a model patient, mild-mannered, and was always helpful. At 6 a.m. on July 27th, with only four attendants, Ed was laid to rest next to his mother at Plainfield Cemetery. And that's the story of Ed Gein, the guy who inspired the most disturbing movies in our pop culture history today. And that's all the time we have for you today. I mean, hope you enjoy the story. If someone ever tells you that they committed murder, you better take that to the police, because they probably did, because they're crazy for saying stuff like that. So, till next time. See you next week.